Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So my sermon this morning is entitled, Well Begun is Half Done. Well Begun is Half Done. How many of you here say that I would like this to be the best year I've ever had? I would like this to be your hand. Better go up, brother. I would like this. This potentially could be the best year that you've ever had. And how many of you know that it's a good thing to start strong? If you're an athlete and you're in the starter blocks, if you jump out at a really good pace, it sets you up to win the race. Amen. If you're a golfer and you hit the first nine and you do a good job, the second nine normally lines up. And it doesn't always work that way, but generally that really gets you going. That momentum of starting strong really causes you or sets you up to finish your race powerfully and strong. Amen. There's no difference when it comes to the kingdom. The way we start our year can set us up for absolute victory in the kingdom of God. What's amazing about that is that that doesn't mean that you won't have any trouble or anything come against you in this year. But what it does mean is if you start strong and you're walking with God in relationship and intimacy with Him, you will be prepared for anything the enemy comes and brings against you. Just like we sang in that song, that it might look like you're surrounded in your year, but when you're walking with Him, the truth is you're surrounded by the presence of God and the armies of God. Amen. So we all want to have a good year. We want to start this year really strong. I want to see if there are people here this morning that perhaps 2018, you know, was a good year. For some of you, it might not have been a good year. But how many of you here, there are things that you didn't overcome or you didn't see take place last year that you would like to have the victory over this year? Perhaps there's something in your life you're struggling with, a sin or something like that, that you haven't been able to get total victory over. I want to declare to you this morning that this will be the year that you have victory over that situation, over that thing that's been holding you back. There might be a family member that you've been praying for, that you've been trusting for. You just haven't had the breakthrough with that family member. You've been praying, you've been trusting for the last few years, but the breakthrough just hasn't come for some reason. Perhaps your spiritual walk, your personal relationship with God hasn't quite gone to that next level that you've been trusting Him for. You haven't had the encounters that you used to, or something personal between you and God. You just feel like in 2018, didn't quite reach those heights that you desired with all of your heart. Maybe it's your business. Perhaps you're waiting for a breakthrough in your business, in your body, in your physical condition. You know, perhaps there's an area that you're trusting God for, and last year, you didn't see that breakthrough. But are you here this morning? And how many of you are trusting for that breakthrough in that area in 2019? So well begun is half done. And what happens to us as believers is we get into situations or in our spiritual walk, and this is not sort of coming against you or me as believers, but it just kind of happens, is while we're serving God, we will get to a place where I call it spiritual dullness, where we kind of like just going through the motions. It's like I was talking earlier on about we do a Daniel fast or a fast as a church every year. That can really just be a routine thing for you. But if you choose to do it right and you choose to do it with your heart and you purpose in your heart to do so, you can start this year and have the breakthrough like never before. How many of you here know what I'm talking about? You go through seasons, or you might be going through a season right now where you just feel like your prayers don't get answered the way they used to. You just don't have your spiritual senses sharp like they used to be. Your intimacy and your passion for God maybe isn't quite what it was. And what I want to tell you is that it's not always necessarily all your own fault. It kind of just happens sometimes. As we're going through the motions, going to church on Sundays, living our lives, doing the dishes, putting the kids to bed, wiping the diapers, all that stuff, just going through life, you find that you just kind of like get into a spiritual rut. And even the powerful things that you could be doing just seem to be losing the sharpness that you normally had or you had once before. I want to show you in Scripture this morning that there is a way that you can conquer that. That you can go beyond the norm and move into being supernatural. Because how many of you know you serve a supernatural God? Amen. We must never forget that. We can get so caught up in church and doing church and being a part of church that we forget that our God is supernatural. He goes above and beyond what we can ever imagine. He's not normal. You want to be normal. I don't want to be normal. I want to be supernatural. Amen. I want to walk with the supernatural power of God in my life. I want to answer. I want to pray and see supernatural results. I want to pray in my room and have supernatural encounters with God. I don't want my Christian walk to be dull, normal, or plain. And it doesn't have to be that way for you. Now, let's take a look at a little story in Matthew 17, verse number 14. We'll start there. Matthew 17, verse number 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, this is now to Jesus, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Now, I want to put this into perspective here because how many of you know perspective is often everything? The way we perceive, the way we see things is often so important. The first thing I want you to realize is that the disciples had already been casting out demons. They'd already been laying hands on the sick. So they'd already been used supernaturally by God to do supernatural wonders and supernatural works. Amen. Jesus had already commissioned them to go out into the streets, lay hands on the sick, and cast out demons. They came back to Jesus and said to him, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They were so excited. But this man brings this child to the disciples to help the child, and they do whatever they do, pray for him, command, do whatever they do, and nothing happens. And Jesus, it's almost like, I picture it, it's almost like he's looking up and saying, how long will I have to deal with this generation? What is he talking about? He's talking about a generation that gets affected, that gets into a spiritual rut, that becomes spiritually dull, which is most of us at some point in our walk with God. At some point in our walk with God, listen, I've been through many seasons like that, where it feels like things are just not happening anymore. My spiritual senses are not sharp anymore. I'm not having the results that I used to have. And so these disciples get brought this child. Nothing happens because something's happening. There's a force that's coming against them that's causing them to operate with a spirit of unbelief. Now we'll see this in just a moment. What do I mean, unbelief? But we all believe. Do you believe? I believe. You believe. But why is it that we don't have the ability or the authority or the power to go beyond what's normal? Because what happens is this force of unbelief, which is one of the most powerful forces that the enemy will bring against you, comes aggressively towards you. And sometimes there's just something necessary for us to get over our spiritual dullness or just going through the motions of being a Christian. There's something necessary to take us to that next level where we can also have the authority to break through. How many of you here say, this is the year I need a breakthrough in that area? I need a breakthrough in my marriage. I need a breakthrough with my children. I need that breakthrough in my finances. There is an enemy that doesn't want you to get that breakthrough because you've made promises to God. You've said to the Lord, Lord, if I have this breakthrough, Lord, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to sow into your kingdom. I'm going to work for you. I'm going to do this. We've all done that. And the enemy's also heard you. And he doesn't want you to have this breakthrough. So this force that was working against the disciples is still working now in the church. And that's why Jesus got so frustrated. Because this would always be a force that would come against us. But I have a solution. Everybody say yay.
Yay.
All right, let's go look at what Jesus does. Then Jesus answered, verse 17, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" The disciples, the good guys, the believers, just like you and I. Why are we not getting that breakthrough? What is the cause of us not going to the next level? Well, I'm so glad you're asking so many questions. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, there's that force I was telling you about that will come against us as believers very subtly, but comes against us in our lives that causes us not to get that breakthrough that we really need. Now watch what Jesus said. "For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." Now watch. "However," everybody say however. Now, however, there's something that you need a breakthrough for. There's something that you're trusting for. Perhaps there's a however right now in your life. Perhaps you're at that place where everything you've tried, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, the breakthrough hasn't come. What do I need to do to go to the next level to get rid of this kind of issue? "However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." I was very quiet in Vero Beach this morning. If you want to get sharp in the spirit, if you want to go beyond the normal, beyond the natural, it will require you to sometimes consecrate yourself, to have spiritual discipline, to do what we all don't like at all, and that's give up coffee, among other things. Fasting and prayer are catalysts to the power and the presence of God, the likes of which you have not seen. When I planted this church, I fasted regularly. Every time I had a problem, every time I had an issue, I would go on a 2, 3, 4-day fast, 5-day fast, 7-day fast, 14-day fast. I would fast and trust God for an answer, and the breakthrough would come. Why? Because I don't trust myself. I don't rely on the arm of the flesh. It's not because of my fasting. It's because I show God, I'm submitting to you. I know that you're the only answer. I can't do this, Lord. I need you. I put all my trust in him. I fast and I pray. If you want this kind of breakthrough, fasting alone doesn't work. You must pray as well. And I'll show you that in just a moment. If you want that breakthrough that you've been waiting for, this might be the very answer. This fast that we're about to go on to might just be the very answer of what you've been waiting for. Now, let me show you a couple of things about fasting that maybe you didn't know. We're going to go and take a look at a few different types of fasts. First of all, let's look at a couple of fasts. The first fast I want to talk to you about is an absolute fast, which I don't recommend, which we see a few times in the Bible. Esther did it for 3 days. Moses did it for 40 days. However, understand something. When Moses did an absolute fast, that means no water, no food, he was in the presence of God, like literally. So that sustained him. Okay. If you do an absolute fast for more than 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days, you will probably die. So unless God has absolutely told you, you have a doctor working with you to make sure your condition is okay, I would not recommend an absolute fast. And if you're going to do one, it needs to be 1, 2, 3 days max. Unless God really speaks to you. Amen? The second fast, which is what most scholars would call a normal fast. I don't know what makes it normal, but I guess it's the fast that most people will do. That's a fast of fluids only. Fluids meaning primarily water, but you'll take a little bit of juice or something to give you a bit of energy, fluids to give your body some energy so that you can still do work and stuff like that. If you do a long water fast, you'll find that you become extremely tired. Amen. I know fasting isn't exciting. Don't worry. Your breakthrough is worth it. Now watch. The next thing, the third kind of fast I want to talk to you about is a partial fast. Now we as a church do the Daniel fast for 3 weeks because that's what Daniel did. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the Daniel fast in just a moment. And if we want to do it the way Daniel did it, it's actually pretty strict. But what's important is not to miss the point of fasting. And what I mean by that is, don't become legalistic. You'll see that Daniel is the one who decided what his fast would look like. He purposed in his heart to do a specific kind of fast. So if you want to do the Daniel fast, it's pretty strict. If you want to do a partial fast, in the Bible there were many partial fasts. They only would fast a few meals and eat at night. Some people can't do just vegetables because their health doesn't allow it. So you can maybe fast one or two meals a day and eat something else at night. Some people are vegetarians. You should only eat meat during this time. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I can hear the vegetarians going now, how can you say that? Yeah, amen. I'm really just kidding, okay? The point is that when you fast, it must be a sacrifice that you choose to make. Don't try and do a long water fast if you've never done a short fast before. Start somewhere and purpose in your heart to do so. Let me show you quickly in the book of Daniel why this is so critical and so powerful. Let's go to Daniel 10, verse number 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. In other words, for 3 weeks, Daniel had made a decision that he was going to seek the Lord. He was going to set his heart, his mind, his time to seek God. I'm sure some of the mourning was because he couldn't eat nice food, but most of it was mourning because he was in God's presence. He was seeking the Lord for breakthrough. And the interesting thing about Daniel is that the breakthrough he was really seeking wasn't his own. He was actually seeking a breakthrough for the people of Israel, and wanting to hear God's voice, wanting to understand Scripture, wanting for his eyes to go open, to become closer to God. These were the desires that he had. And he set himself apart for 3 full weeks. It says in verse 3, it says, I ate no pleasant food. So if you do the Daniel fast, you can't eat nice stuff. I'm being serious. You can't have chocolate-covered special bean made by that fruit tree. It doesn't work. That's not the Daniel fast. The Daniel fast is vegetables and fruit and stuff like that that is actually really strict. And the point is that Daniel had made a choice. Listen to me now. This is important. Daniel had made a choice that his sacrifice he was going to bring was no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So you need to understand that this is the fast that Daniel chose for himself. In the cafe, Wayne tried so hard. Pastor Alex, can I put this in the food? Can I put that in the food? And I said, no. If we're going to tell the church that this is the Daniel fast, then we need to have the menu appropriate for the Daniel fast. So we've strived our best to cause our menu to be very Daniel fast approved. But listen to me. You need to decide what your sacrifice is. I can't tell you what to sacrifice to God. How long, how much, how many hours, how many meals, and exactly what you choose to give up. What I can tell you is that it has to hurt. So if you're a vegetarian and you're going, oh, the Daniel fast, bring it, brother. It's not gonna, if it doesn't hurt, it's not a sacrifice. When sacrifice is there, there's an aroma that goes up to God. And he answers that sacrifice. The Bible, in Scripture, we see every time there's a sacrifice made that the Lord answers with fire. That fire will change your life. That fire will reignite you. That fire will give you a zeal once again. That's what we all need. Amen. Now let's take a look at what happened to Daniel when he made this decision to serve God like this. Verse number 3, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and behold a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold and upes. So in other words, while Daniel is busy seeking God, suddenly there's a breakthrough. Something changes. He goes from being in the natural, just seeking God, praying, hearing nothing, seeing nothing. Suddenly, something shifts. And all of a sudden, there's a man standing in his room. This is an angel, without any doubt. Amen. There's an angel standing in his room. The Bible says his body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his voice like the voice of a multitude. In other words, Daniel was now no longer in the realm of the natural. He was now in the supernatural realm where something was about to shift. Something was about to change. Like Jesus said, when you fast, something will change. There'll be a force that you will be able to overcome. Daniel, for 3 weeks, had set his heart, had made a decision to separate himself. And during that time, something was happening in the heavenlies that this angel could come through to Daniel. Go to verse number 9, please. I'd read it all to you, but we'll be here all day. Let's go to verse number 9. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on my palms and on my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. I can imagine. How many of you can imagine, right? You're in the presence of an angel. An angel comes from the throne room of God with the presence of God all around him. That presence is standing in your room in front of you. God's opened your eyes. You can see it. He's having a major encounter. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. And while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand. Stop right there. From the first day. You see, that's why the way you go into your fast is so important. You need to know why you're fasting. You need to go into that fast with purpose. You need to purpose in your heart that you're going to make the sacrifice. Whatever the sacrifice is, you're going to do it. If it's going to be for one meal a day, if it's going to be a proper Daniel fast, if it's going to be water only, if it's going to be fluids, whatever God puts in your heart, purpose to do it. Make a decision. And when you do that, the Lord, yeah, says, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself, you see, that's what fasting is. It begins to kill your flesh. Less TV. No video games, children. Make the decision. You choose. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You've got to choose your sacrifice. Because my sacrifice might be different to yours. Some things might be easy for me and they're not easy for you. So we choose our own. But when it comes to fasting, food is definitely included. Because you must cause your body to be put down. Amen. Well, Pastor Alex, I just fasted TV. That's great and that's a sacrifice, but it's not quite the same. A fast does require food as well, of some sorts. Amen. Listen, guys, I never said this. It's in the Bible. Amen. Okay, now, so we see, he says here, set your heart to understand and humble yourself. When you fast, you will be humbling yourself. You will cause yourself, you will find that that pain in your stomach from desiring to eat food causes you to become meek, causes you to become humble, and then you begin to seek God. But the key is what he says next. Watch, he says, I have come because of your words. He doesn't say, Daniel, I came because you separated yourself and never ate anything nice for 3 weeks. You see, the process of fasting causes you to become humble, causes your heart to be set on God. You've made a commitment to Him. And in that time, your prayers, your words are what are important to Him. So doing a fast and not praying doesn't work. You have to commit yourself to separate, to spend time with Him, to mean business with Him. And then your words, with your sacrifice, will come up before Him and cause the heavens to be shaken. Can you say amen, guys? Come on, there's people here that need a breakthrough. Now remember, Jesus said that this kind of spirit, this force that's coming against you, can only be removed with prayer and fasting. Okay? Now watch what this angel says to Daniel. But the prince, verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. In other words, he's talking about principalities and spiritual hosts, which I'll teach you about in the future. But what you need to know is the Bible is clear that your battle's not against flesh and blood. It's going on in the spirit realm. And when you set yourself and you say, I'm going to make a sacrifice, I'm going to give up meat, I'm going to give up pleasurable food, and for 21 days I'm going to set my mind and set my heart on you, God. While you're doing that, something is busy happening. You're making a sacrifice and the heavenlies are busy being shifted and shaken, and your faith begins to increase. Whether you like it or not, it just begins to happen. It takes faith to fast. And the Bible says that in the heavenlies things were happening, but while you were fasting, another angel came. There are angels that are sent out for you while you are fasting. That breakthrough that you need, that extra power that comes from heaven that you need to break the force of the enemy for that thing that you need, will come while you're doing this fast. Amen. I think it's good stuff. Amen. Fasting and prayer are keys to unlocking the spiritual dimension to us. You choose what you desire to give up as a sacrifice that you bring before Him. As a church, we set the Daniel fast as a whole. But I'll tell you, while I fast, I do different things for different parts of the fast. That's what I desire to do. And during the year, I'll do little fasts, longer fasts, all kinds of different things. But it's what I choose to do. You do the same for you. You make a decision. Because remember, it's your sacrifice that you're bringing to Him. Amen? A fast is not there to put you under bondage. A fast is there to give you more spiritual freedom. And must be something that you choose to do, not something that is forced on you. However, I will say this, that if you desire that thing that has been holding you back year after year, you say, Pastor Alex, I don't know why, I just don't get the breakthrough. This might be the very thing that can take you to that next level. Amen. One more scripture. Daniel chose to do a fast like this earlier in his life, Daniel 1, verse number 8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. Everybody say purposed in his heart. And I want you going into this fast, into this new year, for you to purpose in your heart what God places on your heart going into this year. He says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested that the chief of the eunuchs, that he might not defile himself. The fact of the matter is that Daniel was the one who purposed in his heart. He chose this kind of fast for himself. He made that sacrifice and he got the results. Can you say amen? Amen. Daniel 1:16. Have a look at the results of this first fast that he had done. Daniel 1:16. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they drank and gave them vegetables. And as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Your life when you make a decision to seek the Lord with everything by making a sacrifice and bringing that sacrifice before Him will not be the same again. But it must be a decision that you make. You must seek Him. You must purpose in your heart. And then you begin to have visions. You begin to have dreams. Things begin to open up to you. Suddenly your spiritual senses get sharp again. All of a sudden you're hearing the voice of God like you did before. Suddenly your passion's back. Your zeal's back. Your fire's back. Now all of a sudden the thing that you've been dealing with, that thing against your child, you have courage and boldness. And you step forward and you say, "Devil, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of my life. I command you to get out of my child's life. I command you to go now. I've been fasting and praying. I've separated myself with God. I have heard the voice of the Lord. Go out of my family." Hallelujah. Purpose in your heart. Let this church lit off an aroma of sacrifice that comes up before the Lord, that will turn this city inside out and upside down. I don't want church to just be church anymore. I want to walk in here and smell an aroma of sacrificed lives, of people that desire to serve God, to give their hearts to Him, to follow Him with everything inside them. And then you'll see our city change. You'll see your loved ones change. You'll see your business change. Because when the qualities of the kingdom of God are in operation, everything has to submit to the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "This kind does not go out without prayer and fasting." It's the beginning of a new year. Start this year by purposing in your heart whatever you desire to give as a sacrifice to Him. 3 weeks, we're going to do the Daniel fast. If you choose to do the Daniel fast with us, we would love that. If you choose to make a different sacrifice during this time, that's fine. But I can tell you one thing. We're ending this fast off with the Holy Spirit Fire Conference, and it's going to be powerful. We're going to see God move. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see the supernatural. We're going to see God come into this building and shake lives and change lives and deliver lives. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much, because we need grace to fast as well. It's not always easy, Lord. It's nothing in comparison to what You've done for us. But my heart's desire for Your people during this time of consecration, as we begin this year, more than anything, Father, would be that they will draw closer to You. That they will know Your love on a greater level, Lord. Your goodness and Your mercy, Father, that follows us every single day. Where would we be without Your mercy? Where would we be without Your grace? You are so good. We're so thankful to You. I pray that You give us courage and strength, stamina, that we would be able to do it during this time, Father. And when it's hard, that we would go to your throne room and begin to intercede and pray. Separate us during this time, Father, unto Yourself. We are Your children and we love You. We mean business with You, Lord. We love You with all of our hearts. I just pray that this time will be a precious time, that as we come through this fast for this new year, it will set us up for the best year we've ever had, regardless of what gets thrown against us, because we will be with You. And it might look like we're surrounded, but we're actually surrounded by You and Your love and Your goodness and Your mercy. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Spirit will be with every single one of these precious people as they leave here this morning, in the wonderful name of our Son, of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.